Welcome to the Legacy Leader Show. We are absolutely super excited to explore transformative leadership, strategic insight, and also powerful stories that are not only inspiring today's, but also tomorrow's legacy leaders that are driving this meaningful change and also creating lasting impact. Today, we have a great guest in the studio that we're super thrilled to share his story, who is not only a true hero and innovator, Drago Jaran. Drago, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you so much for that great introduction. I would like to make one small correction though to it. I don't consider myself a hero. Hero are my teammates. Heroes are Americans, everyday Americans who go to work and make this country better. Those are my heroes. But thank you for the great introduction.
And he's also humble, as you guys can tell. But for us, from perspective for someone, obviously, both of us grew up in Europe and have been exposed to different types of regime, from communistic, socialistic, democratic, and obviously now capitalistic. And being both of us now here in the US, it's very interesting to depict this journey. So before we dive into this, I know you're also a published author and you did so many great things and obviously very vocal and through your blog and everything that you do to make not only US, but also rest of the world better place. So I'm curious, Drago, how all of this started, because you've been known for your activism even back in communistic Poland. Do you mind giving a little bit of insight on that?
Yes, I was born and grew up in a socialist Poland. To make a little bit note, Poland nor any other country behind Iron Curtain were ever communist states. They were socialist states run by communists, like my father. And so very quickly we realized how inefficient the system is, and people just did not want to stay in the socialist country. So the movement started eventually in 1970s, late 1970s, to free Poland from communist grip, grip of Communist Party. And this is when I got involved into the movement. And eventually I ended up as a political prisoner in communist, socialist Poland. So after spending time in communist prison as a political prisoner, I asked in US embassy to help me get out and to allow me to come to America. I was given that permission. I was given the status of political refugee. I came to America. I was not ready. I came not speaking English. I didn't know much about America, except it's the most free country in the world and people can live their lives without government interference. And I was allowed to come in here, settle down, and eventually I became US citizen in 1991. It was at the same time where the First Persian War broke out. By this time, I was very successful already. I spoke English, not perfectly. I still don't speak perfect English, but spoke enough to advance my career. So from a janitor, where I started my life in America, to eventually Saab and Mercedes factory trained technician. So my life was great. An eventual instructor, skydiving instructor, AFF jump master. So when the first Persian War broke out, I believe there was my moral obligation to support my America. I was American. There is no hyphen in front of this American. So I decided to join military. I thought that was the most direct way to support my America. And that's the rest is the history. I joined US Navy, become Navy SEAL, and I retired after 20 years.
Wow, what an incredible journey. First of all, from the leadership perspective, just to pivot and be able to, from someone who is young and who is activist, who wants to create a better social economic environment and end up to be in prison and then finds the ways and journey come to the United States. Talk about pivoting and also adjusting, but what it takes to be a Navy SEAL and what it takes to be in such a prominent role.
Well, eventually, yes, I end up as a Navy SEAL instructor. But the road to it didn't start even in the Navy SEALs. It started in faraway land in Poland, when that's where I was actually taking leadership lessons, whether I liked it or not, when I built the underground structures and organization, when eventually we were apprehended by communist regime. But I was able to build a very effective organization where people, and it was based on trust. I think the trust is the biggest thing. I was able to lead people to be successful, but everything was built on trust. It's trust both ways. So I had to trust the people that I had with me, but also they had to trust me that I would make the right decisions. And this is where the first time I realized how important this role of the leadership, but also the trust upon which the leadership is built. Eventually, I came to America and I had to start my life all over again. I learned English language. I had to learn the customs. And that didn't happen without incidents, I would say accidents, some of them kind of very uncomfortable incidents. I can mention, but I can talk about it later. And eventually I end up in Navy SEALs. But through joining the Navy, I didn't think much about leadership at that time. That was just that my thought was, I need to do something for America. Everything that I have, that I had then and I have now, I owe to America and American people. So that was my moral obligation to join. And eventually, when I joined the SEAL teams, that's a little bit different, because that there's a specialized unit where you cannot be just the follower. You have to be also a leader on every level. You are expected to take charge when circumstances arise. You cannot just sit on the sidelines and wait for somebody to make a decision for you. But this is built into the Navy SEAL training, Navy SEAL teams and progression. So this is how it helped me to build my skills to become eventually, effective leader within our organizations, either within my business, ConnectZinc or .com, and Navy SEALs Fund that I founded in 2009.
What are some of those tasks or trainings that you have to undergo, and how strong that is, mental game, in addition to that physical and emotional one?
So the Navy SEAL training, just the initial selection is 6 months long. It has to be, because we need to weed people who are not only physically incapable of to carry the load, but also mentally. And that is not very often obvious. Even in my class, we had the Olympic swimmers. We had people physically prepared, but they did not make it. And many of them quit after first 3 or 4 weeks of that selection. So it is brutal. People call it brutal. Most of the people focus on so-called Hell Week in the first phase, where for 5 days you practically don't sleep and you constantly do something, some tasks. So this is one of the phase where a lot of people, I would say maybe even most people, quit. But this is not the most difficult phase. For me personally, the third phase on Sacramento Island was much more difficult. That was like the Hell Week, but Hell Week for almost a month long and on steroids. We didn't sleep a lot. I remember it was December. We were constantly wet, cold, and hungry, and still had to perform with at a certain level, with working with live ammunition, explosives, next to each other, shooting next to each other. So that was very stressful. It is stressful. But again, the most difficult part, the biggest selection, happens in the first and the second phase in the dive competency, where it is very technical phase. It's also physical, maybe more physical than the first phase, but you already are customized to that physical exertion in the first phase. The second phase focuses more on technical aspect of it. That's what I was still instructor in the second phase at the time. So the process is brutal for if you look from outside, but this it actually creates the results that we need, that we can create. We make warriors that will not stop, will not quit, they will fight to the end, and they will carry out the mission if needs to be, no matter what.
What a powerful journey, and also what a powerful physical endurance, mental, emotional, and I just want to, again, for everybody watching and listening, because with everything that's going on around in the world, we're talking about resilience and talk about resilience of Navy SEALs. So kudos for all of that. And with that in mind, you mentioned earlier you retired, and with that retirement, you did something beautiful. You created that Navy SEALs Fund for Brotherhood Beyond Battlefields. So tell me a little bit about what was that moment when you realized that this is coming to at the end, and then when this obviously idea came about, and what this is really creating right now for all of those retired Navy SEALs through your foundation.
So when I retired in 2011, but I already seen teammates who left SEAL teams or who retired in sometimes emergencies where they needed help, and the help was not available often, mm-hmm. or very limited, or there was a lot of red tape. So mm-hmm. I get sick and tired of it. I say, I need to create an organization. We need to create an organization that will remove the red tapes, that will help every SEAL, that will help in every situation, not only what some organizations have certain limitations. I understand that we cannot do this, we cannot do that, we cannot do that. We are pretty much poised. Our charter allow us to do almost every take on every emergency SEAL can experience after retirement. So yes, in 2009, 2 years before retirement, I founded this organization, NavySealsFund.org. And of course, build it with my fellow SEALs. This is the organization that on board of directors sit only Navy SEALs. It's administered by, in this aspect, by the board of directors of only Navy SEALs. It is, what is very important, I think, is that we do not have salaries. This is an organization built from the ground up by Navy SEALs with no salaries. We do it on a voluntary basis. So this is big, because almost 99% of funds goes to the mission. And I think the biggest influence of Navy SEALs Fund had my fellow teammate, Duke Harbin. He was the first president. He brought this organization into open and grow it to the where we are right now. So Duke, if you watching this, I want to say hi, cheese brother, and he's still with us with Navy SEALs Fund in the leading role. So I really appreciate it. And this is so important too, that when you build organization, you can't do it everything by yourself. You have to surround yourself with people who you trust, people who subscribe to your vision, and who are willing to do what is needed to do to accomplish that mission. So here we do have some restrictions, like we don't have salaries. So, you know, if you want to help, you are willing to help. Of course, we are welcome you, but don't expect that you get paid for anything. None of us gets paid. So yeah, that's the how it started. And eventually we grew, I think we are successful because we do not have red tapes. We don't require people to fill up countless forms and agreements and agree that we can use their names or post their stories online. Some of the stories we posted online only on specific request of that person we helped, but we don't even ask about this. So I think that this is another thing. The trust that we build with SEAL community is outstanding, and this is why we are able to be so effective. There's a few aspects that are very important to me personally. One of them is help with, we call it quick reaction funding, QRF. I myself in the past was in a situation that I was thinking, if I just can pay this bill, the next month I already have a certain arrangements, so I can go and down the hill. I can go and actually succeed, but that just that particular bill, I just can't pay it, and it's going to ruin my entire finances and my life. So we do have, we are faced with this situation. I had fellow teammates calling us, say, hey, you know what? I was trying to do good on my bill. Unfortunately, I just was not able to catch up. My mortgage is going to, they're going to foreclose on my mortgage within 2 days. Can you guys help do something? And what's nice about Navy SEALs Fund, we can react within an hour. So very often we have our CEO, Rachel Duran, getting on the phone, call the mortgage company, stop the foreclosure, and just pay the bill. And then, you know, we, it's not only that, but we also help that person or these people set up with the financial advisors to maybe help them manage better their funds. But yeah, we had close calls like this. The problem with Navy SEALs, especially the older generation of Navy SEALs, is they don't like to ask for help. They will struggle, they will fight until eventually they just can't no longer support themselves, or no longer pay their bills, or no longer help themselves or their families. So this is why we are so fast. Sometimes you can't wait. The hour or 2 hours can make a difference. I'll give you an example. During the COVID times, at night, we got a call that a fellow Navy SEAL is dying in the hospital practically because the medicine that he should get, he can't, because it's a Thanksgiving time and the medicine is not available. Besides, it is, I think it was at that time, it's still experimental medicine, not the vaccine, the medicine. So we're able to organize call between the owner of the company that makes that medicine in Sweden and Israel, three-way calls in California where that medicine actually was. Another organization organized a flight. So within the same night, we're able to make pharmacies in California go throw over the fence the medicine to the pilots who came out there. They pick it up. And by the way, as we executing the mission, the same doctor called us back. He said, hey, I have another patient. He's not military. He's just an American. And he has the same problem. We need that medicine for him too. Can you guys get it? So his insurance paid for that medicine. But since we are deploying the medicine to our fellow SEAL, we also, we say absolutely yes. So the call came from Israel to the pharmacist to open the pharmacy, get that medicine delivered to the airport. And the same night the medicine was in the hospital in Arizona where was saving lives. In another case, we got a call from Honduras. It was a fellow Navy SEAL, older from the like the one of the first generation of Navy SEALs from the Vietnam era, who was injured on the island, and eventually he became unable to pay the bills. The hospital said, okay, that's enough. We're going to kick you out. You have to go find yourself someplace to live. There was one of the islands of Honduras, and he did not have any means to remove himself from the hospital. He thought he was suicidal at the time. So when we got the car, we were able to organize a flight vital one from with one of our board of directors, advisory board of directors, owns that company. We flew the helicopter, the medevac, pick him up, and the same within 24 hours, he was in VA hospital in the United States. So things like that happened. Those are maybe extreme situations, but on every day, we don't need to wait long. You don't need to fill tons of paperwork. We have our own means to check if the request is legitimate. Our community is fairly small, so we are able to assist, and often we do within an hour of the call. So we are, I think that's what differentiates us from maybe other organizations. It doesn't take days or multiple hours to verify and dispatch the help. It takes sometimes an hour, but we are able to help, and that's important.
That is such a powerful, and I'm glad you shared those examples for everybody watching and listening, because we all can depend on each other, right? And having the right avenues and channels. But when you're dealing with such a high performers, I'm not surprised that you can move the needle so quickly and make a magic happen. Because again, I love what you mentioned, how important it is to remove the red tape, and how important it is also to you know, look at things strategically and move and deploy very fast. That is something that I also see, obviously, after any deployments and so many years of work under so much pressure, it's a great to have an agency that take care of their own, right? And in the same time, I think it's very important to address the issues that they're dealing, specifically as we see, obviously, so many lives being lost, and so many of them are still also coping with that loss of their friends, colleagues, but also some of their own personal challenges that they're dealing with. So with that in mind, I'm curious, you wrote a memoir that reflects a lot of those harrowing stories and the legacy of those fallen SEALs, the first responders, and also ideals related to freedom. So do you mind expand a little bit about that?
So the memoirs that I wrote is not so much maybe about Navy SEALs, it's mostly about my journey in Poland from being just a teenager to eventually become a freedom fighter and engaging in the political life of Poland at the time and fight with communism. And then eventually to my time communist prison as a political prisoner. But the intention to write this book was not just to tell my story. It is important for my children that they know my story. It was mostly to, I wanted people who read this to use as a lens, as a prism, to see the greatness of America through the prism of the communism, socialism, socialist oppression. And I think this is something that was very important for me, because I appreciate America so much. So reading this book just now contrasted with the lives that we have here in America. We Americans are having this beautiful, powerful country that is a beacon of freedom to the rest of the world. So this is how I would like this book to be read, and hopefully people reading it will take a time and think about the greatness of America, how unique and special America is. For people here in the United States, born here, grew up, many of these things are very transparent, because America is made of good people. Goodness is so natural that people don't dwell on it. They don't think. When you ask, why would you help this person? Why would you do this? Those are, because I'm American. This is how in America we deal with things. And the best examples are the fires in California, and then also in the North Carolina, the devastations that happen, where you can see neighbors helping neighbors. They yeah. don't care, you know, what you believe in, who you voted for, what color of your hair. there's a fellow neighbor, and I was just watching TV this morning, and one of these personal heroes, was talking about, well, you know, I decide not to move, not to leave my house. I decide to fight that fire. But at the same time, I see the neighbor's house get on fire. So why not to just help him? And I distinguish this neighbor fire, but then start another neighbor. So I helped also another neighbor, I helped save his house. So this is so typical to America. Please also look, when disaster happens anywhere in the world, what country is first with help? We are Americans, America. So for many Americans, it's so transparent because they were brought up of it. They are good people and they think about it. That's just how we are, how Americans are. But you know, I have a little bit different vantage point because I've seen different settings. I've seen different people. I've seen different countries. And this is so heartwarming. And I'm totally taken by America and American people. And please also remember, everything that I have, my family, I owe to American people, to America. So hopefully, it is honor for me to call myself American, and I hope people see me that way. You know, I'm very proud of my achievements in military as a Navy SEAL. Being Navy SEAL is incredible and very unique and honorable thing. But I think the biggest achievement for me is my becoming US citizen, becoming American. I'm mm-hmm. like you. No.
I can relate to that, yes. And also, it's obviously mindset. What do you do with the opportunity that you were given? And you took it, as they say, by the storm and made it happen on so many levels, with obviously track record and that tremendous success. And with that in mind, I'm glad that you touched on previously also, obviously, what do you do, how you stay active, how you to continue to support, how you continue to anticipate the needs. And more than ever, we need, obviously, the veterans who are experienced in those words of wisdom. I'm curious how all of those experiences shaped your leadership, because obviously every aspects of your lives thus far shaped you in so many ways. And what would you say were some of the key highlights? So everybody watching and listening who want to up their game and wants to explore further how they can truly consciously make their legacy more impactful and more meaningful, what would you say?
I would say first, please remember, and I think this is great about America because people realize it and understand it. It's not the government that's making the difference. It is the heart and compassion of fellow Americans helping Americans. And America was built on personal freedom, on Christian values. So this is big. And I would say you need to trust your fellow Americans. You need to trust. Especially, you need to trust people you lead, but also you need to be trusted by the people that you lead. To do that, you have to be expert in the field that you lead. You have to have that expertise. Also, you have to be surrounded by people with expertise and like-minded people, so they will support the mission, your mission, or the mission of the tasks that are required. And you need, as a leader too, you need to show up every day. You need to be in action. You need to set example. There is a small difference though between military and civilian life, but really not that much. People think, well, in military it doesn't really matter because if you give an order, they need to follow up and they need to do it. Well, yes, but also it helps if the people trust you, if you trust the people, the mission becomes so much easier and more impactful. On the other side, in civilian world, you need to have the trust of your team, because if you don't, people can walk away. You cannot walk away from in military and say, well, I'm not going to go on the mission. I don't like my leader. I don't like my boss. Well, in civilian world, you face with even, I would say, bigger challenges, because to retain these people, that you need, then you need to have their trust, their understanding, and also to be aligned with your mission. So this is very important that you do that. So yeah, those are the challenges, but And to do that, you have to have that expertise in the field that you are living in. And also you need to, they need to, people need to understand that you are there to help them. You don't push them. I think good leader doesn't push people, it pulls them. I think good example would be Jack Willing. He was my commander during one of the missions in the, during the, my, I did entire SEAL platoon with him. That's almost a two years under his command. And then I worked under him as well in Iraq when he came to Iraq with his platoon. So this man, not only, he was a good leader because he inspired people. He inspired people with his expertise, with his charisma, and we wanted to be like him. I mean, entire platoon look up to him, and also our platoon commander, I won't use his name because I didn't ask for the permission. I will not use names with the permission, but QF, he knows who he is. So you hear it, my respect to you. And so these two leaders were my kind of like my example, how to be a good leader. Another one was Chief Leif P. I won't use his name because I never had a chance to talk to him after I left the Navy. So I will not use the name, but he knows who he is. So those are people I try to emulate. If you can set yourself as an example to your people that they want to emulate you, they will align you, themselves with your vision. They will not be afraid to challenge you, but they will also support what you do, what you try to accomplish. And that's important that we surround ourselves with people with a similar vision, similar views, or maybe not so much views, but with similar task-oriented goals. So that makes the job more easier. But again, in civilian world, it is a little bit more difficult because people, if they don't like you, don't believe in the mission, don't believe in your leadership, they will just leave. And there's nothing that can stop them. It's like, okay, bye. They are gone. So it is important that you do surround yourself with good people.
That's so true, specifically when you have a shared vision and shared values, which is really interesting. Statistically, we have the lowest trust in leadership right now on global scale, and unfortunately also in the United States for a wide range of reasons. Are we talking about military? Are we talking about corporate side? So I can address more the importance of that and how trust is fundamental, specifically when you're dealing with such a high risk deployments and situations. So when we look at all of that, you also obviously walk the talk consistently through that and exuding the trust. I love what you did there with veterans and how you continue to play crucial role and visibility. But I'm also intrigued by power of giving back because you are also recognize the importance how to give back. And I love leaders that are also servant leaders, that are continues to stay humble, that continue to look at what is needed. And as we're seeing right now, raging fires in California, as we're seeing, you know, all these different things that are happening across the nation, but also across the world. Do you mind highlights what it takes for you and for others to really consider to be that kind of not only servant leader, but that power behind of giving back, but beyond obviously the battlefields and experiences that you had?
So like I mentioned earlier, it is not the government that makes the difference. It is the heart and compassion of fellow Americans helping fellow Americans. And this is, I believe that is very, that is, gives me great satisfaction being part of that model, part of being able to help my fellow Americans, not only veterans, but also my my neighbors who are, some of them didn't even serve in military. But what is important to remember, I think, that we all serve our country. Whether you are in military or doing something else, as long as you are a good citizen, you serve America. And this is great. I mean, seeing people helping other people and being able to do the same is very satisfying. And I think that's something that it drives me, and I'm sure many other leaders.
Beautiful.
And also, I would like to mention here a little bit about Connecting. That's the company that I run, that I founded. It is kind of social media, but without censorship and without fact checkers. Every time I mention anything about socialism and communism, but my experiences in socialist communist countries, my account was immediately blocked. Places like LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. So I had to be very careful what I say there. But I got tired of it. I tried to go and I was tired of being censored, just like in communist, like socialist Poland, right, by communists behind the Iron Curtain. So I create my own social media. I create my own connecting. It's more like a Facebook, but you can express yourself there. I do not censor. We do not censor there. We let people decide what they themselves, what they want to believe or not. And you can post any information there. You know, as long as you don't attack our America, of course. We don't have a mullahs, we don't have American enemies on our side. They are being removed, unlike in Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram.
I think it's important to have a freedom of speech, and it's also very important to for everybody to have that voice in their perspective, because everybody have a different experience, how they're perceiving different parts of the world and also different events that are going on in the world. And I like what you said, doesn't have, it's not political, it's also about experiences, and it's also about our leadership. And one of the premises that we're having this conversation is also to really look at what are we creating, how purposeful and impactful we are, and are we focusing for the greater good, or are we focusing just for our own agenda? And I think that's where a lot of things are shifting, unfortunately, and it's an opportunity to really do better, educate more, learn from each other, but in the same time, arrive to conclusions. So in that mind, I'm curious, obviously, you already have tremendous trajectory of things you accomplished, and you still continue to do. But when you pause and think about it, obviously, how would you define not only your leadership, but how would you define also the legacy that you are creating and continue to create?
I would say my leadership is based on trust, expertise, and show up to action every day. The future, I believe that America has great future. Every American is different, have different views, different opinions. We cannot restrict that. We cannot say, well, your opinion is not important. I will just go listen, allow to publish only these opinions or these facts. So that's very dangerous. And that's something that ruined countries in the past. So for me, it is important that people can express themselves. And hopefully growing up with connecting, we can bring it up to the next level. And again, connecting is free. There is no paid. There are some of the functions are paid, but in general, mostly it is free. You can sign up, you can express yourself. Nobody will censor you as long as you don't disparage our America and American people. That's all. But otherwise, it doesn't really matter what color of your hair is, what's your opinion on this or that is. If you have opinion, you want to express it freely, you are welcome on connecting.
That's great. We'll definitely make sure for everybody watching and listening to be able to find those links. And speaking of that, obviously, where would you like to, for them to go to be able to either support the Navy SEAL Fund that you have established or joined the network?
The best way, I think, if they go to either Navy SEALs, plural, Navy SEALs Fund, FUND.org, or to my website is Drago Giran. Maybe if you can post it, just like my last name, .com. There are links to Connecting. There are links to Navy SEALs Fund. And there are also links to my book, The Pledge to America. So you are welcome on these three websites and to find more information. As I'm building my website, I'm going to, because I could not include everything in my book, of course, because it would go forever. But some of the things that I omitted in the book or didn't made it to the book, I will be posting there, including the images and pictures, also from Communist Poland. So this is under the work right now, and we should have this finished within the month, where I start posting my blog about myself, about Poland, about America, the way I see America. Will be hosting also my fellow SEALs there to express themselves as well.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And in closing, when we look at everything, Drago, right now, what is going on currently, what would be your piece of advice? Because we are also having the leaders that are on both sides of the coin, the ones that are in corporate side and the ones that are in government, and never seen that closer interconnection as we're seeing today. What would be a piece of advice from you to them?
Be honest. You know, there's one thing here. People need to understand that you don't have to have some secret knowledge to be involved in politics. The politicians, especially the crooked one, would like you to believe that, well, you cannot challenge me because you don't have the expertise here and there. I have a secret expertise that I'm, and this is why I can lead, you can't. No, I think the biggest qualifying factor is honesty. If you are honest, get involved in political life, in our political life, and make a difference. You know, now our society is very polarized. We have Democrats, we have Republicans, and there are groups of Republicans and groups of Democrats looking at each other with anger. I think we need to put it aside. You know, every American is different. There are different views. We all have different views, and we see path to the future for our country differently, maybe. But we can all agree on one thing: make America great again, make America beautiful, make America great. And regardless if you are on the left or right, I think we as Americans can unite and can lead this country forward to make it even better than it is today.
Excellent. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being talking to you. And I just wanted to say, we'll definitely bring you back down the road, but this has been tremendously impactful.
Thank you so much.
At the end of your life, what will be your legacy? What will you leave behind for future generations? For the world, join the world messenger, Isabella Lundberg. Each week, as she brings you a new distinguished guest from the business, sports, or entertainment world to share their success, their struggles, and their lessons. They will share their insights into current hot topics that affect everyone. Isabella facilitates an intimate, vulnerable environment to find the true value of humanity and real leadership. Are you ready for your legacy? The legacy that matters?